Sometimes it feels like the world is moving at hyperspeed and you can't keep up because it's one thing, then another, and don't forget the meeting and the yoga class and the dinner reservation, but then you get into the all-new Nissan Murano, and you feel the breeze from the panoramic moonroof, while the massaging seats melt away the tension of the day. And you realize that sometimes the greatest rush is not rushing at all. Shop the all-new Murano at NissanUSA.com. Panoramic moonroof, massaging leather-appointed seats are available features.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here,
reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance.
Like your first home expansion, or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
This is Warbird Radio.
Welcome to Warbird Radio. I'm Matt Jolly. It's always a privilege to have David Oliver on the show. He's been on a number of times. Today, though, well, he's the new CEO of the Commemorative Air Force, one of the largest flying museums in the world. David, welcome to Warbird Radio again.
Hey, thank you, Matt. I'm glad to be on. I was thinking the other day about, I think it was 15 years ago that I got to the first time I'd be on your show, and absolutely a pleasure.
Well, glad to have you here. I remember when you were one of the youngest B-29 pilots post-World War II when you came on one time, and we've just followed your career, and it's been wonderful. Before we get into this, you shared something on social media the other day that I thought was really poignant, where you reunited with these folks who really helped save your life. And if you wouldn't mind indulging us just briefly on this experience of reuniting with these gentlemen that, as you said, saved your life.
So back in 2007, I spent a year in Afghanistan, and we were on a Department of Defense contract to fly all kinds of missions across the country. And it was everything from provincial reconstruction teams, cargo, construction workers. We were building hospitals, dams, different social projects, runways. And living in Afghanistan, you know, you really have to be connected to the locals. And I had Nasir, who is my head of security, and Rafi, who is my translator and driver. And really, I was very blessed to have some just opportunities with those guys. And when everything happened, and we just watched the world unfold in Afghanistan in 21 with the U.S. departure, my heart just immediately went rough, and I thought, man, I'm not even sure I can send him a text message or anything. You know, what if they find his phone? I mean, is that going to be a security threat for him? But we did stay in contact, and through some of us who were part of the crew back then worked with the State Department and were able to actually get Rafi out. And it was really great. Last Sunday, I had breakfast with guys. They live in Sacramento, California. And just a hug, okay, man, God loves you guys, and he's, you know, spared your life. And I'm just honored to have spent time with them. There's no doubt. They kept me safe, and it was really, it was an incredible opportunity. And I was young. I was 25 years old. And those guys are really owe my life to. And they really, they kept me alive. There's no doubt about it.
And did I read correctly? At one point, you found yourself in a trunk of a vehicle driving through a checkpoint. We were talking that level.
There was a long story, and probably one of the stories of a place that we probably should have never been. and it was, you know, I think it was one of those things. Again, you're 25, and Rafi said, hey, you know, we'd love to take you to this place called Bamiyan. And it was, if you've ever been out to Arizona, you've seen the cliff dwellers, and they have these holes in the wall where they've dug their homes. And they said, we've got, it's like bigger. And they said, but we got to go up there. We got to take the car, you know, so whether you want to drive. And I thought, sure, let's drive. I mean, again, it's like, I'm in for the adventure. I'm probably a little bit not even aware fully of what the risks are. And so they said, well, okay, we need to go down the bazaar. And they take me down to, you know, kind of the marketplace. And they're like, you need to, well, also there, somebody's got like one of these tape measures and they're like measuring me up and they're like, you local clothes. So literally they dressed me as an Afghan and they said, and this was the plan. They're like, we're going to be in the car. We're going to drive up there. And if anybody stops us or does anything, just kind of like play dumb. We're going to tell them that you have like a disability. Don't say anything, right? Because it'll give it away. But they, I mean, really everything from head to toe, dressed me up like an Afghan. And as we got up in there, we were having a good time driving up and we had pulled over on the roadside, but we all of a sudden got a phone call and the interpreter said, hey, we got to go. So we get in the car and we drive away. Well, I didn't find out until this last, we were having lunch, that the what had happened was it called back to kind of our home office. They said, are you safe? They said, where are you at? I said, here. And they said, you guys took a wrong turn. You took a wrong turn and you're right in the heart of this area that is completely controlled by the Taliban. It's like their headquarters. And here we were eating like melons, watermelon and fruit by the road. And he said, we got to go. Well, after they said, just get in the back and we're going through some checkpoints because we got to get out of here. And so literally I just said, okay, I had no idea. I got in the back, went through, I heard a bunch of talking. And he said, just get it down and away we go. We got followed for a while. It was quite interesting, but we made it to our destination. So these guys were, I have no doubt that they would have taken a bullet for me. And they were extremely loyal. They knew their job. They appreciated us being there. And it was a heck of an experience.
Well, I love that story. And I love that you were able to reunite and reconnect with them. I bring this up because that was a difficult time in your life. You've certainly had challenges in your life. And those of us who do know you have watched you navigate some of these challenges. And you do that with a poise and a grace that I think we've heard it in your own words comes from your faith, deeply rooted in your faith. You have taken over the Commemorative Air Force, which is an organization with thousands of volunteers the world over, with this mission in mind of not only preserving the artifact, which is the aircraft, but also the story and this idea, this belief that what happened nearly 100 years ago is so critical to the fabric of not only our nation, but really the world over. That you have committed so much of your life to saving the aircraft and the stories and this mission, and I think it's really valuable. I mean, it's certainly how I got my start in aviation, was with the CAF. Today, you have taken over as the new CEO at perhaps one of the most challenging times in this organization's history, and I wanted to talk about that because the day that I found out, I had just seen you that morning, walking through the Paris Hotel in Las Vegas. You're doing perhaps one of the most interesting jobs that you will ever have as the CAF CEO, which is building the booth for ICAST, which is this monstrosity that has to be assembled. And just that morning, you were named the CEO. And within, what, an hour or two, the NTSB releases the final finding on the tragedy that happened in Dallas. Talk to me about that day and right. What it was like, your first day as the CEO.
Well, it's interesting because I've been a member for 15 years. And I started this organization because, like you're talking about, that passion and purpose. And you're right. We have the most dedicated, incredible membership of any organization I've ever been a part of. And that's what I signed up for. I mean, that's why I joined and became a colonel or a member in the Commemorative Air Force. Is because of that mission. The importance of the mission is the overarching aspect of why we do what we do. I love the fact that I get to say that I came into the organization at the tail end of so many of our World War II veterans who were still alive, right? And over the last 15 years, I mean, you've seen it too, that just it's so sad to see loss of that generation, but also so exciting to celebrate their legacy. And so I think first and foremost, before we talk about accident reports and all that kind of stuff, you have to have the concept that what we do matters. I mean, what we do is so critically important, and it's important for our future. It's important for us as a people and our identity as freedom-loving Americans, right? who celebrate the fact that we have people in our country who stand up when they were asked to stand up against a tyrannical world that was really coming against freedoms, right? So, you know, our mission statement is aid, honor, inspire. And my vision, my overarching, again, before we get into the details, is really to see the CAF become the finest stewards of our military aviation legacy. I want us to be the leader and the advocate of the warbird world, to, you know, the preeminent warbird organization, and to tell that story well, to obviously for the next generation, anything that we can talk about from those missional elements. Yeah, I walked in that first day and they had released the announcement to say the board of directors that unanimously voted me in as the new president CEO. And then 2 hours later, the NTSB final report drops. And we knew it was coming. And look, I got to tell you, I was there that day of the accident. I lived it real time. And the hard thing about all of that is those were six of my good friends. And that's the hardest thing ever, right, is to go through that. And I know in our nation right now, we're going through something similar. And so my heart goes out to the families for sure. As they lived through that, because I lived it. And you understand that the mission and the importance still continues on, right? And but back to, you know, my heart and passion and purpose is to see really this organization, live and thrive and survive. And you mentioned it, you know, much of that is because of the shared passion and purpose of our membership.
Yeah, and I think that you're one of the best on-ramp organizations ever. If you want to be involved in Warbirds, if you want to have opportunities to see, to touch, and to feel these things, and to fly not only the airplane, but if you're not a pilot, to fly in them, the CAF offers these opportunities that no other organization in the world can present. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm living proof of that, right? I think I was, 29 years old when I first had the opportunity to get checked out in Fifi. And I was checked out by Charlie Tillman, who, you know, flew KC-7s. And I mean, he said, fly the airplane this way. And you saluted smartly and said, yes, sir. What other 29-year-old, and we have a lot of young people in our organization who get the opportunity to fly some of the coolest warbird aircraft in existence. And it's not buying your way in, right? It's not the money. It's not the procedure or the fact that you're connected to some family name. I mean, really, it's about the opportunity to put your heart and soul into an organization and the mission, and then get the opportunity to be a part of it, you know, at that level. So you are spot on when you say, look, we have a lot of people and we have cadet programs. So we're intentionally going out and recruiting younger people to come in. And not just fly the aircraft, because remember, only a very small segment of our membership really are pilots and even get the privilege to fly the aircraft. We've got young people who are out there doing aircraft marshalling or learning about aircraft maintenance or even just the IT side of selling rides or donations. I mean, there's so many aspects that people can get involved with the CAF. And you're spot on. It's a great organization because, as we say, look, when you go to the zoo, right, and you go up to the tiger cage, you just get to look at the tiger at the zoo. In the CAF, we say, look, you get to come in and be a part of the CAF, become a member, and you get to feed the tiger, right? You get to actually wash the windows and be part of the CAF mission.
One of my favorite stories is Larry Kelly, B-25 operator, Pancito. We know him, and I just saw him last night, in fact. He shows up randomly. When you know Larry, Larry just pops up sometimes, and he shows up. And so last night I ran into him down here. But he always says on his interviews, you know, when you see the stuffed lion in the museum, it's impressive. But when you go to the zoo and you hear it roar, it's a whole nother story. That's why we fly these things, so we can hear them roar. I love that line, though. You go a step further. You get to feed the tiger. When you're come on into the cage and feed that sucker. Yeah, you need maintainers. You need folks who are interested in doing the maintenance and operating on these things, too. Part of that is going to be covered at the National Warbird Operators Conference, which is coming up in Dallas, actually at your headquarters. There are going to be tours there. I know you got to be excited about this. It's just a few days away now.
Oh, absolutely. We're very excited MWOC is coming because this is our flagship. You know, this is the Henry B. Tippey National Aviation Education Center, 47,000 square foot facility where we're going to host dinner under the wing of the B-29 Fifi and the B-24 Diamond Lil. You can come out and see our Nose Art collection and all the different STEM education areas. I mean, that's really, again, investing in the next generation is really what this facility is about, not just showcasing these aircraft, which are really a tool to tell the stories of people. So we've got stories about the women Air Force service pilots, the Tuskegee Airmen, the Aztec Eagles. I mean, this is, if you come to NWOC, you've got a tremendous opportunity to come out to our facility and see history come to life.
Well, it's going to be a great time. And you mentioned the Nose Art collection there at the CAF. And I go back to Harlingen in the early 80s, walking through that hangar when all of that stuff was hanging up inside the hangar with my cousin. And not saying a word. We both just kind of looking at each other and staring. And in the corner, there was always this gentleman, World War II age veteran, who used to sell all the, you know, the stuff, right? The oxygen masks and the fly-in helmets. And he was very cantankerous. And just, he didn't want to buy anything. He wanted you to leave. But I remember one particular October morning, very early, we're in there and we're walking through and we're noticing this sort of for the first time. My cousin and I, we're at that age, and we look up and we're seeing this, and this very cantankerous guy that I've never seen smile sort of looks up and gives this kind of a look, and we just keep walking. That used to be a fence, though, out on a guy's ranch. He had all of these Nose Art Hulks. It just an amazing piece of preservation where you can go and see these Nose Art panels. That have been lovingly restored and now on display back there at the CAF. I think it's great. I'm looking forward to reuniting with
absolutely. Yeah. And we've only had about half of them on display for the last year or 2 years. But recently we are renovating the entire gallery. And so NWOC, to kind of tease it here a little bit, NWOC is going to be one of the first sneak peeks of unveiling the entirety of the collection. So we've got now, or at least at NWOC, if you come, 34 original Nose Art panels that we're going to allow everybody to go see and get a sneak peek.
That's fantastic. Well, I'm looking forward to it, David. I'm looking forward to seeing you down there. Talk to me about what you're excited about right now with the CAF as it moves forward. I know the P-47 project's just down the street from our studio here outside of Atlanta. It looks like it's coming along terrifically down there. But what are the other things that you're excited about?
Yeah, the P-47 has come along great. You know, it really goes back to this is my perspective. I'm first and foremost, you know, a volunteer servant. That's where my heart's at. And I think that's where the heart of our membership is. So giving our members an opportunity to serve, giving them the opportunity to restore a P-47, I'm really about stronger CAF units. I would love to see and have a passion to see the CAF grow its membership, grow the people that are involved with the organization. So one of the initiatives that we are currently working through is planting new units. We're up to, on average, about 2 to 3 new CAF units across the country every year. And so that's growing, and that's growing membership. And then we're buying aircraft. Our foundation is doing really, really well. So again, our membership and giving them the opportunity to serve CAF units and growth is going to be something that's always, you know, near and dear to my heart. And, you know, the next thing that goes hand in hand with that is the leave a legacy aspect of how we impact the future and how we impact future generations. So this aspect of the cadet programs and investing in, you know, STEM education and seeing young people understand history and put history in the context of the world that they live in today is critical. So that's what I think, you know, it looks like we're always going to have this emphasis on education. And certainly probably what essentially is, maybe I should say, the top priority is operating our aircraft safely. And I think that's something the entirety of the Warbird community needs to look at, is the culture of safety. And what we're doing with safety management systems is really revolutionary. We've never done it before, where we're getting real-time data about aircraft and how they operate, understanding safety trends, taking things that we've even learned from the airlines and other aviation operations and applying to the Warbird world. We've got to operate these aircraft safely. These are
priceless artifacts, right? And they're flown by the best pilots in the world. But we need to make sure that that legacy is preserved, and that means making safety a priority, making it first.
One of the things that impressed me most, again, your first day on the job, walking into that the opening session there at another conference at the International Council of Air Shows annual convention in Las Vegas. We walk into the opening ceremony. It is a talk by a former Qantas captain who had, as he described it, a black swan event on board his jet airliner that was just taking off, to the point where it was an incalculable, if that's a word, incident that could have not only downed the airplane, but killed all of the passengers on board. I mean, this was a perilous situation to where they had to go through this entire litany of things to go through to save the airplane. And it was the whole discussion that morning was on safety. And what struck me about it was, in the presentation, there was this moment where, as he's rapid firing these incidents that he self-described as black swan incidents, there is that image that comes up. And when I saw it, I remember thinking just this overwhelming sense of emotion that came over me. And then remembering that it was the CAF that is sponsoring this event. You talk about safety, you talk about these new systems that you're putting in place. And on day one of the most impactful safety discussions I've ever heard was presented by the CAF to a room full of the people who are doing this day in and day out at the top level. Nearly 1,500 people saw that presentation because of you and your organization. I think it was really impactful. So my hat's off to your first day.
Yeah, that was a heck of a first day, but we were really honored to sponsor that opening session. And I think that presentation did a fabulous job of really trying to educate us on some elements of how to handle these crises and how to prevent them, right? So the like we talked about here previously, the reality is that we've got to operate these aircraft safely. And it's not just the rules and regulations, the policies. I mean, we're working with the FAA on lots of different committees to address these, you know, how do we write these safety management systems? But I think at the end of the day, everybody in the organization, not just the pilots, not just the maintainers, everybody's got to wake up every day, make a conscious decision to put the priorities of risk assessment, risk management, and safety as number one. Right? It's got to be, what do you do when nobody's looking? Are you really engaged in the safe operation of whatever it is that you're doing? So it's going to be a central focus for us, no doubt. And you know, the accident report and the NTSB report has a recommendation in there for the FAA, as well as ICAS, as well as CAF, to bolster those safety programs and to look at those safety risk analysis elements and operate the aircraft and operate our organization safely. Again, it's not just flight, it's ground. It's everything we do in the hangar. It's data protection. You know, these are all the different elements of the world that we live in today associated with risk. And we got to make it a high priority in order to work through those things and make them important and, be a safe organization for the future. I think it's Warren Buffett who said it takes sometimes 35 years to build a strong, successful business and 35 seconds to tear it down. And that's really the legacy that we want to leave, is an organization that's safe, that's operating our aircraft effectively, safely, and the mission continues into the future.
One of the great ways to do that is by attending the National Warbird Operators Conference that's coming up this February 6th through the 9th in Dallas, Texas. Presented not only by our friend Ladd Gardner Aviation Insurance. Ladd, a guy that grew up in the CAF. It literally started in his backyard with his father, Lefty Gardner, back in the day. And Mr. Nolan, I mean, down there at Old Rebel Field, where Ladd called home. But also by the CAF and the Lost Coast Warbird Squadron, another group that is helping put this on. We want to get you down there because there's a safety stand down. There are literally the top level experts. If you have a medical question, Dr. Susan Northrup is going to be there. She is the chief, the head doctor of the FAA. She's going to be there. We have maintenance professionals. David Oliver is going to be there. And we're going to get to see, as he said, the entirety of the CAF's new facility down there. So come down and enjoy it. What do you want people to know about NWOC in these last few minutes before we wrap up?
Well, I think NWOC is a critical time for us to come together as an industry and share best resources with each other, right? Share our ideas, share our concepts on how do we do safety programs? How do you invigorate your safety culture? I think we're stronger together. I think many people probably in the warbird world oftentimes only look at their operation. But the reality is that everything everybody does in this small industry affects all of us. So I think NWOC is really about us coming together to share all those ideas and to come together as an industry and make sure that we are all in this together and we recognize that it's ours this is our industry to preserve. So it's going to be a good time. And best of all, we're amongst friends and family, right?
Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing you and we didn't get to hang out much at ICAS. You were a very busy man on your first day in office as the new CEO there of the Commemorative Air Force. But David, I wish you the best of luck and our prayers are with you as you lead this organization into the future, because I think it's a worthy task. I think you're the right guy for the job. And man, I'm just looking forward to seeing all of the great things to come for the Commemorative Air Force.
Well, thank you, Matt. You get to do a great show. We love supporting you and a supporter of the Commemorative Air Force.
Look forward to seeing you there in person at NWOC, the National Warbird Operators Conference. We're going to quick link it into the show story here so you can easily go there and register. You don't have to be a pilot. You don't have to be a maintainer. You can be an enthusiast. You can come. You can meet people. You can get involved. It's in Dallas, Texas, February 6th through 9th. David Oliver from the Commemorative Air Force will put his information in there so you can log on and become a member of the Commemorative Air Force yourself. David, thanks again for being here, and we'll talk real soon. See you soon.
Thanks, Matt.
See ya.
This is Warbird Radio.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.